It's been 6 weeks since Russia invaded Ukraine, and while the East and West narratives clash, the death toll and destruction keep rising every day. Is there any hope for Kyiv and Moscow to achieve peace? We will find out as the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, talks to Al Jazeera.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera. If we start from the rocket strike in Kramatorsk train station today that killed 40 people, the last count I heard was 39, what is your reaction to that?
Well, the Russian soldiers who shelled the railroad station clearly understood that there are civilians. We know there are no soldiers over there. It couldn't say that there were any soldiers there or any military units close to there. And we clearly understood that what they are doing. Who are they killing? They're killing ordinary citizens, adults, and children. You've seen photos, and there's video already. This is yet another evidence and support to the fact that Russia is shooting and is destroying civilian. It's not about intimidation. They've shelled Kramatorsk. This is one of the heroic cities since 2014. We fought for the Kramatorsk and the citizens of Kramatorsk and the whole country fought for Kramatorsk. We remember what was the defense of the Kramatorsk airport since the beginning of the war. And that happened before the large-scale invasion. That was a peaceful city. And since my election as the president, I've been there for many times. And what I can tell you is that something around 40 people were already identified as killed, and a couple of hundreds were wounded. Still, the search and rescue operation continues. And unfortunately, what we can say is that Russia is destroying the civilian population of Ukraine.
I understand when this happened, an evacuation was on the way. How difficult is it to evacuate civilians when such things are happening?
The air raid warning was received from the governor and for the local authorities. So they were signaling and saying that Russia is preparing for rockets and missile launches. They were also preparing for a large-scale invasion on that part of the Donbas, which is under control of the Ukrainian authorities, which is not under temporary occupation. So the local authorities have told that we will be helping people to evacuate. And they've also called upon the citizens of Ukraine, saying that if you have your own transport, you can evacuate, because there are significant risks of shelling, of bombing. And we know that Russia is counting on a large-scale invasion, despite the fact that they're saying that they're not shooting at civilian population. Usually, as a rule, whenever any political leader of Russia is saying that they're not shooting at the civilians, they are either telling that to different mass media. I think that at that moment, the population should be preparing themselves. And the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Lavrov, said while addressing Ukraine, Ukrainian authorities and Ukrainian population, he said that there were constant falsifications, that Russia is not fighting and not shelling the civilian operation, that they continue their special military operation, as he called it. And I'd say that we started to respond to that in a fairly professional way. So we've offered the people of Donbas, if you want, if you feel, we will be supporting. If you're not willing to remain there, you are maybe evacuating. So we've seen what happened. There were some shellings made, and the Russian authorities and the just get made additional lie.
Have you been able to evacuate people from Mariupol? Because we know the humanitarian situation is pretty bad there, and it has been for a long time now, a few weeks since the start of the war.
Well, since the very beginning of the war, there were a lot of risks to a number of cities, and Mariupol was one of those cities. And since the beginning of the war, the whole city was blocked, and then all the routes, escape routes, were blocked as well from that city, from the city of Mariupol. And as you perfectly know, they did not allow anyone, I'm not talking about military, anyone from a civilian population to receive food, water, and medicine. I'm not talking about any human support and assistance. I'm not talking about the not allowing members of ICRC to go to the Mariupol, nurses, doctors. We've sent the representatives of Ukrainian churches to Mariupol, and they were not allowed to enter. So everything was blocked. We've sent convoys who were absolutely empty, without any civilians. So they've shelled all those convoys. They've allowed to have civilians leave the city, civilians using any transport they had. Our military, they're not ready and willing to leave away or leave behind those wounded comrades they have, or the civilians. We're all living persons. We all understand that if your fellow soldier has died, I mean, you cannot simply abandon his body like a bag of potatoes somewhere by the road, let him rot.
They say the fighting in the middle of the city is finished, and now that has moved to the port. They have asked the Ukrainian soldiers to surrender. Do you think they're close to controlling the whole of Mariupol?
Out of 500,000 population of Mariupol, something like 400,000 has either evacuated or killed. Now the population is around 100,000, and there's bodies of people all around the streets. So speaking about capturing, I mean, they were killing, they were entering apartments, they were blowing. Yes, they've occupied this city, and I don't have any sentiments with regards to them. They've occupied this city. They want to capture the city, but for them, capturing the city would mean our forces surrendering our weapons. That would mean for them capturing the city. But today we are where we are. Our soldiers are fighting till the very end, bullets, and they're not willing to surrender. So that's the situation as it is for now.
They accuse you of preventing civilians of using humanitarian corridors leading to Russia. What do you have to say about that?
Well, this is not true. This is just another lie. This is the selection of the ordinary citizens, just like a choice that is made by the military there can evacuate. I mean, this is the choice made by our military. I'm not God. I'm not to tell them what to do with their life. They're just not willing to leave their fellow soldiers, and I personally perfectly understand them. If they are willing to withdraw, to retreat, they have this right, and they can do that. And these corridors, our corridors, are open for that, but they're not willing to go both as military or as civilians to the territory of Russia. Thousands of people went there. There's part of the city, you have to know the city, like part of the citizens went to Russia. But where are those people? And people, some are asking, asking, where are those children? Some would say that over 2,000 of children are missing. We don't know where they are. Then we got some information that part of the people were captured by Russians, and some were taking the Ukrainian passport instead. They were given with Russian passports. So that is what's happening. The people are simply not willing to go towards Russian Federation. They're forced to go. It's either they're going there or Russians will kill them. So I understand when someone is going there in the direction of Russia, but what is happening to them afterwards?
What is your assessment of the war situation at the moment?
Well, I think we can see that this is not the end of the war, and a lot of people have their raised mood. They are happy because some of the Ukrainian regions are being liberated, but I don't think it's a high time for saying things like that, because a lot of settlements and all regions are being occupied, and a lot of people are being killed by the Russian soldiers. And I can see that we've repelled some of their attacks. They failed to take the capital city of Kyiv and some other important cities like Dnipro, Odessa, Kyiv, Kharkiv. In Kharkiv, the situation is far more complicated than the situation very complicated in the south. And of course, the most complicated is in the east. For them, it's important to control Mariupol. They are willing to destroy all of the soldiers in Mariupol. Then they would proceed to the east in order to try and surround a significant number of Ukrainian soldiers in order to destroy all of that.
The Russian troops did withdraw from Kyiv, around Kyiv, Chernihiv. Do you think the capital city is still under threat?
It's hard to say. If our forces in Donbas won't be able to hold their positions, then the risk of the repeated offensive against Kyiv and the Kyiv Oblast is probable.
Would you say the negotiations are moving forward?
I wouldn't say it's not a standstill, and the negotiations, they are continuing, but at the same time, there are slowdown, and I don't see any actual results of the negotiations as of now.
Has your position changed after what we've seen in Bucha?
I believe that as the leader of the nation, I need to do everything possible to stop the war. Negotiations is the only way to stop the bloodshed, if not the only way. And it's the diplomatic path for stopping the wars.
A video has emerged in which Ukrainian soldiers seem to be executing Russian soldiers in the woods. So the Russians are saying also Ukrainians are committing war crimes. What do you have to say about this particular video, and are you investigating this? What can you tell us about this?
Look, it's hard for me to comment on any specific video. We are all adequate people. First of all, any videos, any cases like that, it's either we can hear something or it's either something has been demonstrated to us since the beginning of 2014. And on a time-to-time basis, Russia was committing those informational attacks against Ukraine in order to justify them, their reactions to Russian population. I'm not going to talk in specifically on this or that occasion. Our soldiers, particularly the armed forces of Ukraine, they don't have any reason or any sense to behave in that manner towards Russian soldiers.
Russia wants the Security Council to meet and discuss this, something that the UK has refused. Do you support such meetings?
Look, I'm not afraid of any sessions of the UN Security Council. I just believe that Russia has no right to dictate anything to anyone and organize anything. They might start discussing or something else, but without the ultimatums, without conditions, without accusations, and only in that case when Russia will withdraw their forces from our territory. They can go and return to their territory, and then, as any other person in civilized world, they can go to UN Security Council or the International Criminal Court or to the international other institutions with requests, with appeals, with proposals. You can't just, you know, stand there and occupy the land of another territory and then dictate conditions. This is impossible. That's why they were refused. They were not refused because of this or that condition. They were UK was absolutely right to reject them, not because they're friends. They would support any country who would be facing similar situation because they understand what the law is, what the international law, what the sovereignty is.
They want you to be neutral. They want the Ukraine to be a neutral state. You agree with that. But what is your understanding of that neutrality? What are you willing to accept as a solution for this whole conflict and war?
Well, first of all, we always wanted to have security guarantees, some specific agreements and some specific security guarantors. These are the countries that would be able to guarantee some specific cases under specific conditions and circumstances. All the citizens of Ukraine would like to have those security guarantees. Russia has imposed an ultimatum. Then it withdrew from an ultimatum when it failed to capture Kiev in 3 days. Well, if Russia would be able to occupy Kiev, we wouldn't be talking about the neutrality or non-bloc status. We would be talking about different things. But we want some specific security guarantees. Who would assist us in how, if there would be an invasion? And there could be even another approach. There would be something, some specific agreements that will make sure that Russia will clearly not want to violate our sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Do you regret giving up your nuclear capabilities according to the Budapest Memorandum?
Yes. Yes. I regret. All those countries with the nuclear weapons, now they are not being captured. So if Ukraine gave up these weapons, they should have specific guarantees from a specific country. That should be a very specific legal agreement with very specific provisions on liability for violating this or that agreement. I mean, in our case, that was the Budapest Memorandum. How could you give up the weapons in such a way without signing any serious document, just making a big present for what? What we have received, what Ukraine have received. We have received a war, and this is one of the reasons we have become weaker. We have weakened our status, our defense. We have weakened our population. This is what we have given away. We have given away the life of those people who died.
Will you seek to have such weapons in the future?
No, I'm confident we're not going to be able to seek these weapons. That's not our methods. That's not something on our mind.
You said you needed guarantees. Now, are there any country that has agreed to act as a guarantor? And if the answer is yes, then what sort of guarantee? Meaning, if Russia attacks Ukraine after any possible agreement, does that mean that this guarantor will militarily intervene?
Well, there are many countries who would be who are willing to support Ukraine, who are willing to become security guarantors for Ukraine, both today and future. I cannot give you any more details until we have reached an agreement, but I can give you the list of the potential security guarantors. These are UK, Poland, the United States. These are the countries who are willing to be there. Then Turkey, Italy. Then I think that this agreement would be impossible without Russian Federation. So that's another story, really. Then I know that Ireland wanted, and some other countries wanted to consider becoming security guarantors. We will also ask for China. France and Germany, they also are aware of this situation. And so far, they are showing some sort of respect and support. But in addition to support and assistance, we need to have very detailed negotiations in order to understand which country is ready to provide which specific support and assistance and guarantees.
You've always said that you wanted to meet President Vladimir Putin. If he was listening to you, what would you like to say to him, to the Russian president?
I'm ready to have this meeting. As for the possible topics for our conversation, well, definitely not about the weather, because we don't have a positive climate in our negotiations. This situation in Bucha and in many other cities have put an end in that. There should be a pragmatic discussion with some results that should be reached. What Ukraine really wants, Russia is not willing to give. All that Russia wants, we have already proven that we're not ready to give up. So what we would be discussing, the war, when we would put an end to this war, under which conditions, when they will withdraw their forces from our territory, the issue of Crimea, the issue of Donbas. We would like to return our territories, and they're not considering these territories as part of Ukraine. They believe these are independent territories or these are Russian territories. So in these territories and these negotiations, this is where we will be debating about. This is what we're going to discuss about.
If you allow me to end with this personal question, you are an artist, an actor. You're not a military general. Now, this is a war, and you have seen so many difficult things, bodies in the streets of Bucha. You are the leader of this country. It's tough for everybody. How do you, as a human being, emotionally deal with all of this?
As a living person, I feel pain. At certain cases, you just get used to that. And to a certain degree, it's a pity that I'm getting used to things like that, that I look at certain things that I think not a single person would have been imagining that they would be looking at. I think it's the question of about who you are. And it's not related with the profession that you've did or what you'll be doing in the future. This question of who you are, it's about different. It's whether you feel yourself as the citizen of this country, whether you feel yourself as a person with dignity, whether you're able to let yourself run away when somebody is leaving behind, whether you have to defend your own land, despite how big is it, whether you should assist when a child is asking for help, even if there is a threat. So it's a question of who you are. Profession is about different things. It's a profession of becoming or and being the citizen of our country. That's the most important profession. And today, thanks to this profession, thanks to the fact that many people in Ukraine are true citizens of Ukraine, many people are stopping Ukraine because of feeling themselves as the true citizens of Ukraine.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, thank you for talking to Al Jazeera.
Thanks so much.